This is, I'm a whole minute early, but you've sat now for 2 hours, and now you get another one here. So I'm Linda Hoffman. I'm Mark Hoffman's wife. And if you're in the right breakout, you are in Navigating the Minefield. You are trying to understand women. So the definitive book is out. It's come to the bookstore. Can I have that picture? That first picture on the book entitled Understanding Women has finally arrived in the bookstores. So when I'm all done, if you don't get it, you can order that and page through it one at a time. And I know that some of you feel alone in this process because I know we're difficult, it's confusing. So let's see the picture of all the men who understand women. So you're in a good company. And finally, some of them say it's just too hard. It's just too hard all around. Don't even try, because women understand women, and they don't even like each other. So what I'm here to tell you is that we can be mapped and understood. So 20,000 women were polled on their thoughts in relationships. What do they think? Why do they think? Why do they do things this way? And one of the books that was written by this man and woman team was called For Men Only, just to help men figure out, why does she do these things? So I'm going to make a summary of their findings. And before I do, I want to just make a disclaimer. There's always the 80-20 principle. 80% of you will say, that's how my wife is. 20% will say, well, she really isn't that way, or she doesn't do things that way. So it's just kind of an average that we're going to look at here. And everybody wants a great companion. You're here because you're doing life with someone, and you want great love no matter what happens. And love is an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person. So there's a lot of maturity that needs to happen in this road and in this progress. So you want a more fulfilled, intimate relationship with the woman that's in your life. And we confuse and we frustrate you. I know this. So if you're brand new to the opposite sex, you just got married, you're just dating, you're just thinking, what is wrong and how does she think? And but if you're more mature, you've navigated through some of these things, you've both grown, love's gotten stronger, but you still kind of think of us like a minefield, that at some moment out there, no matter how hard you try, at some random moment, we're just going to interrupt, and it doesn't make sense, and you just have to wait it out. So I'm going to give you 7 points. I'm going to tell you what a woman thinks without even trying. Then I'm going to tell you that's why she does these weird things she does. And then I'm going to tell you simple strategies to just improve the relationship. We all know she's emotional, and the goal is not for you to get more emotional with her. So, you know, women say, I want him to be sensitive and caring, and there's some truth to that, but how many of you saw the new Mary Poppins movie? Okay, if you have young kids, the dad is crying because he's going to lose his house, and he's crying in front of his children, his wife, saying, or wasn't his wife, it was his sister. I don't know what to do, and I'm afraid. And I'm sitting there thinking, I turn to my niece and say, I told her, that's not how a man acts. He doesn't act like, he may be afraid, but that's not what he's going to do. So I don't know who wrote that Mary Poppins movie, but I want you to understand where she's coming from so you can respond with success, because your masculinity is desirable and attractive to women. So she wants you to lead. She really does want you to know where you're going. She doesn't want an emotional, scared guy, but really a strong problem solver. But in the midst of all that, she's going to be emotional. So point number one, she needs to feel loved. She has a fundamental insecurity about your love. And when that insecurity is triggered, she's going to respond in ways that confuse and upset you. And she's going to be preoccupied with getting the relationship back on track in a good place. So for her, the deal is never completely sealed, never completely closed. Like, you pursued with all your creativity, everything you could muster, and wedding day came, you closed the deal. But she doesn't feel permanently loved once those papers are signed. There's this latent insecurity in women that whether you really love her or whether she's really, truly lovable. So when that insecurity gets triggered, she starts to worry about the relationship, and she's going to show signs of distress until that insecurity is resolved. So what are signs that that's been triggered? What sign of insecurity? Well, she says, do you love me? And you just told her yesterday. And you're thinking, didn't I just say that? Or she wants to talk about your relationship. Mostly at times you don't want to talk about your relationship. Or you need space. You just need space. Men need space. And she takes that as a signal that you're trying to get away from her or that you're upset with her. Or gets critical or angry for no reason you can figure out. Things just seemed fine, and now she's upset. Or kind of punishes you for being alone with the guys. Like, you just want to go out with the guys. Or anywhere that's away from her. So those are signs that that insecurity got triggered. They're not just weird. They're actual signs, like a dashboard, you know, red signs coming up. So you, of course, get confused, frustrated. You withdraw, and you think, she just needs space. You know, she needs some time. She's going to figure it out. Come back. Tell me what she needs. But those are signs. It signals a breach in your wife's confidence about your love for her. Now, guys have occasional thoughts about the closeness of the relationship, mostly on birthdays and anniversaries. In fact, let's see that picture. Here she is, probably thinking about another girl. He says, I wonder if I've ever bought milk from the same cow twice. So you guys, 7 out of 10 women, that thought about the relationship is almost always on their mind. And you say, well, that's just crazy. But for you guys, what's on your mind, the record that's always running inside of you is like, am I competent? Like, do I have what it takes? It's about providing. And if that isn't going well with you, it kind of messes everything else up. So you do a few mistakes at the job and you're thinking, I'm not sure they're going to keep me. Or there's the economy shaky and am I the first guy that's going to be fired? And if I do, how am I going to provide? It's all running in there. And it makes a big difference if your boss says, hey, I know things aren't going great for the company, but your job's secure. Like you think, okay, all right, everything's fine, no matter what's out there. So for her, it's the same way. She needs your reassurance about love. We say, well, I'm faithful. I go to work. I love her. I'm still here. That should be enough. But it isn't always, because that's the record that's running in her. Am I really worth it? Am I really lovable? So some of the hidden triggers for that, where that insecurity starts to show up. Number one, conflict. So in these 20,000 women, here was a reoccurring quote. A lot of desperate feelings surface for me when I feel like my husband is displeased with me. I'm a pretty independent person, but it really affects me all day long. And while it's affecting her, she's preoccupied now with getting the relationship back on track. Another trigger is when you get silent or you withdraw. Now, you may just do that because you just need space, or you're trying to figure out how to articulate something. She asks a question, you think, I don't know, I never thought about that before. And you go think. Well, women often see that as you are moving away from them. So when you need space, it's really good for you just to say, well, I'm not mad. Don't worry, I'm just concerned about work, and I'm just going to go away for a while. Number three trigger is her emotional bank account is depleted, especially if she's exhausted, you got young kids running around the home, you've been gone a lot, haven't had very much time together. Her latent insecurity just gets triggered. I remember telling Mark one time, he came home, and he was building a church, and he was gone a lot, and I was quiet, and he said, what's wrong? And I said, I didn't marry you to stay home with the kids and never see you. And he looked at me like he was absolutely baffled, and he said, I wake up next to you, I work all day for you and the kids, I take care of the cars, I wrestle with the boys, what do you mean we're together all the time? So women are looking for a connection. So as we talked this through, we decided it was time to start having a date night once a week, just so that my insecurity I was looking for a connection. So no matter what happened during the week after that, I knew that time was coming when I just got him all for myself. So what are some practical guides then to turn off the warning lights? Let's look at that. Because you might be totally innocent, but the warning lights are still there. Something triggered it. It's not really your fault, but it's there. So number one, in the face of insecurity, just reassure her of your love. Guys in conflict want time alone. Women are different. So you could say, yeah, I am angry right now, and I need some space, but I want you to know that we're okay. So 95% of women say that one step on the part of men would eliminate the emotional turmoil that they feel when things are in conflict, and the woman would be able to give the man the space he needs. So you reassure her of your love, and then you stomp off to the garage. And number two, you need space, but she doesn't. She needs a hug. So I remember Mark learned early on that when there was conflict, he would say, come on, let's hold hands. And I think I wanted to stand across the room and fold my arms and yell, raise my voice. And he said, no, we're going to hold hands. We're going to work this out. Now, he's as frustrated as I am, and both of us want to connect, and I would resist, but he would pursue because he was more mature than I was. He could have said, have it your own way. Be an idiot. Stand in the corner. You can do. I'll go away. But being more mature, he pursued, which made me feel secure. And what he was basically saying is, don't go away. I want to know what's wrong. And it would break through my defenses. And it's really hard when you're holding hands to say things with the same voice you would have used across the room. It said, our relationship is important, even though I'm frustrated right now. If she is immature, very immature, difficult, critical, resistant, I mean, you can say it. Fine, suit yourself. I've got a lawn to mow anyway. I've got a book to read. And then you put the incident out of your mind, but she can't. And whether you deal with it then or later, it's going to stay in her mind until the reassurance comes back. So reassurance heals insecurity, but pursuit prevents a lot of insecurity. So let's talk about this. Women always say, I want him to pursue me. So pursuit is like building a reservoir, all right? A reservoir is for you don't know when. You don't know when, but dry times are coming and you're going to need that reservoir. So in this 20,000 women, one thing that was said again and again and again was all the little things that said, I love you, before we got married, well, he just stopped doing them. And so it seemed to her like when you got married, you just suddenly stopped caring. And the texts, the shared dreams, the words, the flowers, the notes, it just stopped. And you say, well, that was exhausting. I got married to stop doing those things, so I could stop doing those things. But those little things really, really speak to her. And I'm going to give you a bag. As you leave, I call it the resource bag or the reservoir bag, about what to do and how to bring that back in a really, really easy fashion. So those things reassure her that you would choose her all over again. So she has an insecurity about love. Number two, she's got a lot of emotions. Now, those emotions make her nurturing, caring, perceptive, intuitive, warm, all those things you want. But they're also there on an immature level. So women deal with multiple thoughts and emotions from the past and the present all at the same time. And those can't be easily dismissed. A mature woman tempers those things. An immature woman is working toward that or even just realizing that it's not good. But we have these involuntary pop-ups that happen randomly all the time. And we can't compartmentalize like you guys do and just not think about it. So that's why out of nowhere, she brings up something that happened 2 years ago. And you think, what does that have to do with what just happened right here? Or obsesses about something that is better left alone. because it's this busy computer that with these multiple windows like popping up and running all the time. I mean, ask your girlfriend, or now I don't know if your girlfriend, if they're really young, but if a wife, just ask her, what's on your brain right now, okay? One time, I was a teacher and the kids were young, and I was working on teaching curriculum for the next day, and dinner's in the oven, and the laundry dryer just went off. I know that all these things have to happen, and the kids are wrestling, and they're little, but the wrestling's now turning into a fight, and Mark is sitting in the chair reading what used to be called a newspaper, and completely oblivious. And I yell to the kids, stop wrestling, it's turning into a fight. So they did for 30 seconds. Now they're wrestling again, back into a fight. And I finally turned to Mark and said, can you hear that? And he looks at me and goes, what? Completely. I mean, he was in his box and everything was just fine. And I said, the kids, they're going to fight. And he said, Neil, what did your mom say? And Neil sits up, he's like four, and he says, she said, we're not supposed to have any fun. And Mark starts laughing and says, that about sums it up. And he says, why can't you just concentrate on your class? And I'm thinking, because I can't. There's all these things happening all around me. And so he says, and I start to list all the things that need to be done. And he says, well, take the kids and the laundry off your list, and then I'll take care of the rest. So what's important to you is that our brain wiring is just different. So you open a window, work on it, close it. Open another window, work on it, close it. Whereas we have 20% more neurons firing in between the sides of our brain, and that makes us really good managers and really good multitaskers. You watch your women, especially with small kids in the home, you just watch her and you think, how did she do all those things? You know, Mark would watch the kids and he would say, I didn't get anything done. And I think, oh, my heart bleeds, you know? And so, but it makes them good at certain things. They're a great asset in certain circumstances. But it's also why all those things firing, she's suddenly very hurt by something that's outside of the context of the moment. You're just thinking, where did that come from? What just happened here? Or the conversation unexpectedly turns into an argument. It triggered something in her mind that was about, this is just like that. You know, Mark would always say to me, can't you leave that alone and can we just deal on this, right? Or you get annoyed when she jumps topics in conversation. Like, that reminds me of this and we got to talk about that. And you're just thinking, wait, one thing at a time. And you need to know, like, where's that close button? So, how do you earn points helping her close these windows? Number one, remind yourself that she can't just not think about it. It's frustrating to her. It's going to remain there till it's dealt with. Number two, if it involves you and your relationship, listen and reassure her, okay? Some insecurity was triggered. Doesn't involve you, then listen, encourage her to take some type of an action or take it away from her. Like she's talking and going on and on, you can say, well, it sounds to me like if you called her and it might make you feel better right now, take care of that. Or what could I do to help you close the door on this hurt? So I think I said listening three times. And since then, let's go right straight to listening, because that's the number three. Think really, how long do I have to listen? Like is there a rule? So when she's sharing an emotional problem, what she's feeling about the problem is actually more important than the problem at first. Let's watch a video, practical application of this. For those of you who haven't seen it, it's called It's Not About the Nail. But it's just too darn good.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
see,
out.
You're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Come on, ow. If you would just...
Don't! Try to see things
my way. No matter how many times I see that, it just makes me laugh because we're trying to find a balance. She wants to share her feelings. You got to figure out how far can I go on this thing. So listening first, solving the problem second. So that's why she says, like, don't fix it, just listen. Or she says you're not listening when you've been listening for half an hour. So number one, ignore the problem up front. Give her your attention. Listen to what she has to say. You can even say, okay, do you need me to listen or fix it? Then number two, acknowledge your feelings. Affirm or sympathize, like, I'm so sorry you had a hard day with the kids. Because just sharing that fixes, her being able to share fixes something in her. She does want the problem to go away, but there's this need to share. And number three, help her understand your limits in advance. So you can say to her, I do want to listen, but my brain starts to check out after a while whether I want it to or not. And you can tell her 15 minutes is great endurance for me, all right? Mark one time sat me down and said, let me explain something about men. Because he wanted me to understand he wants a good relationship. And he said, all the details are for your girlfriends. Like, you guys love to talk about all the details, but that's hard. For men, we're not detail people, so I do want to listen, honey, but can you give me the bottom line up front? And I thought, what does that mean? He said, for example, you're telling me about the kids. Well, you need to say up front, we need to get rid of one of the kids. And then give me the details of why we need to get rid of one of them. Or he said, like, you could also just tell me, the car needs a new engine. And then you can talk about some obscure light that's been on for 2 weeks that you didn't pay attention to, right? So he taught me, if I say this up front, he will actually start to ask a lot of questions about, well, what about this or what happened here? So it was a process by which I learned, because we wanted to communicate. And the details were for my girlfriends. So get the listening sequence right. Let her share her emotions, then give a solution. Because the person who listens well really has enormous power. It says, he does care about me, but you don't have to listen for a half an hour, an hour. So it's not forever. So let's go on to point four. Number four is decoding. Can you figure out what's happening here? So we're just gonna, I know we frustrate you. Let's see this video, it's 20 seconds.
Tyler, you on your way to algebra?
Yeah, I'll see you there.
The preceding joke was brought to you by men.
Men, we don't know what we did.
Hey, Tyler.
Neil told me I had to show that to you. Okay, so a lot of times I know you look and think, what just happened? So in decoding, we need to understand words. So we're going to give you four words that women use. Number one, fine. This is a word women use to end an argument when they are right and you just need to stop talking. 5 minutes. If she's getting dressed, this means a half an hour. Nothing. This means something and you should be on your toes. And arguments that begin with nothing usually end with fine. And then go ahead. That is a dare, not permission. Do not do it. So, what comes out of our mouth isn't necessarily what we mean. So one day, Mark, kids are little, the church. He's growing the church. There's a lot of work to do, and he always comes home a half an hour late. And that says something to me. And one night, we'd had numerous arguments about it, and then one night, I'm just quiet. He's late. I'm quiet. I'm distant. I'm not talking at the dinner table. And finally, he says, what's wrong? And I, of course, say, nothing, right? So the truth is, there is a logical reason behind her baffling words or actions. You can do something to hurt her without realizing it. And your effort to figure it out is big. It relieves an insecurity that's in her. If Mark had said, she said she was fine, I would have remained hurt. And we are going to have to talk eventually. So the pursuit says, I'm loved. He really cares. But that's also why she says, just do what you want, when it really means you better not. Or you had a great evening together, everything is great, and all of a sudden something changes and she puts on her flannels and you're thinking, I don't know what happened. Or pulls away from you when what she really wants is for you to pursue. So I tell Mark, fine, nothing. But what I really want is for him, that's immaturity on the woman's part. What I really wanted for him is to pursue me and say, well, something is. So like if you said, I know you say you're fine, but apparently I've done something that I'm not sure, I'm not aware of what it was, but I hurt you, help me understand. That's a big deal for a woman. So what you're going to want to do is just become angry and say, well, I didn't do anything, she's being irrational, and I'm not playing this game. I'm just not going to play this game. And then you just go away. But maturity versus immaturity, sorry, I keep getting hair in my mouth here. Immaturity is you just act like she acts, all right? Nobody wins, and eventually you're still going to have to talk about it. So maturity is where you act more mature than she does, then she sees her ugliness up front. Nothing shows you your own ugliness more than goodness. Somebody acts in a manner that's different from yours, and you begin to say, wow, I don't like what I just saw in me. So when you act and you pursue and you say, well, let's talk about this. Let's try to figure out. It changes. That latent insecurity gets broken because you really do want it to go away. So with Mark and I in that particular situation, I said, well, we are never the priority. And the truth was, at church, emergencies happened all the time. Mark would leave his office and just try to get to his car, and there would be people situations that stalled him again and again, and he really did love to be home. So as I'm explaining this, he said, do you want me to tell the person that just stopped me in the parking lot, whose child just went into the emergency room, that I don't have time for him? And I'm thinking, no, I don't want you to do that. And then he said, I often feel like you're a luxury that gets postponed. And all I heard was luxury. I'm a luxury. You want to be with me. So here's my latent insecurity. I'm not a priority. And he tells me, this is where I want to be. So all of a sudden, reassured at that moment, I can start to think straight. Because the fact is, this isn't going to change. He's going to try to be home on time, but he is not going to get there. So now that my insecurity is fixed, you want to be here, you're trying to get here, I can think straight. So my plan after that was, all right, he can't help it, he can't fix it, so I'm just going to plan dinner 45 minutes late. Assume he'll be late and he'll bring some homeless waif with him. Always a youth venture kid or somebody he found somewhere. So I'd plan, put an extra plate on the table, 45 minutes, and all the pressure went away. So, listening, decoding, love, emotions, let's go to security. So, the need for financial security is deep in women, but emotional security is even deeper. Do you know 65% of college graduates are now women? Because of financial security. They want to know the future's secure. It scares them when they don't know where the needs are going to come from. But most of them said they would endure financial insecurity to get emotional security. So your masculinity is desirable, strong, plan, leading, that's all important. In fact, women said the number one reason they didn't marry till later was because they wanted Their first question for a man was, does he have a secure job? Does he work regularly? Men tend to be risk takers. Like, why should I work regularly until I have to? Like, you're out doing a lot of things until, oh, shoot, I have a girlfriend. I think we might get married. I should think about this, right? You're much more risk takers than women are. So because of that emotional security being really deep, that's why she accuses you of not caring when you're working long hours for her to provide financial security for her and the kids. Or she says she wants you around more, but she also loves the benefits of the high-paying job that you're doing that costs you long hours. So here's the inner life of Mr. Provider. So you think more hours is more love. One of the men said this, women want security, so that means I can't stop running. I need to do whatever I have to do to ensure that she doesn't feel financially insecure. And if that means I have to work really long hours or stick with a job I don't like, so be it. And that is very sacrificial. But what happens is that your time and attention to work sometimes appears that work is your priority, which means she is not. She doesn't equate it in her mind that work is what you do for her. Like, that's a really good thing for you to help her understand. I'm not doing this just for me. I'm not out there having fun and being away from you. So in your mind, if you could understand emotional security first, financial second. 7 out of 10 women, again, said they'd rather endure financial struggles than distance in a relationship. But that's very different from a man who can't keep a job. So Mark said one time, no woman wants to get in your car with you and drive around in circles till you run out of gas. Neither does she want you to take a family-friendly job that makes you unfulfilled or unhappy. So what do? She says she wants you around more. She's probably willing to downsize your lifestyle to make it happen. And I'm just going to read you this really short thing that an older kid said about his dad and the family. It said, when I was little, we lived in a small house in a neighborhood that wasn't great, but we loved our life. Dad was happy, and when he'd get home from work, we'd play. And he was so much fun to be around. But when I turned 11, Dad wanted to provide a better future. So he decided to have a special house built outside the city. We didn't have tons of money, so he did a lot of the work himself, and he said we were worth it. But he didn't realize that all the extra stress and pressure, what it would do to all of us. So it began to wear my dad down, and we lost happy dad, and we got grumpy dad instead. He stopped playing with us so much and seemed on edge a lot, not relaxed or fun. I know he sacrificed himself for our sake, but we wanted him more than we wanted the new house or the better school. We just wanted happy dad back. See, here I am a woman. I have a great family, and this just moves me because that's more important to a woman and to kids than the nicer cars and the bigger house and the exact right neighborhood. So you're more to her than a paycheck or a mortgage. You hold the key to her happiness in hard times. So security isn't all about what you earn. It's about who you are and how you love that counts the most of all. So you may have to bring balance there, and that may take a conversation with a wife. What do you really need, and how can we make this work? Brings us to six, sex. Incredibly important area that everyone's embarrassed to talk about. But love brings intimacy, and everybody wants closeness here. So you ask, if that's the case, why does she rarely initiate sex? Or why does she say she enjoys it but doesn't think about it very often? Or says, not tonight, honey, when she claims that she loves you and finds you irresistible. Or says she doesn't feel close enough for sex when sex would bring you closer. So most women, if they're avoiding the advances of their spouse, doesn't really have anything to do with your desirability. It has to do with these five facts. Number one, she has a lower sex drive, actual hormonal levels, than you do. And she would change that fact if she could. Most women are just not wired to crave sex as much as men do, but they enjoy it just as much. Because of that fact, that makes her less likely to initiate or more susceptible to non-sexual distractions, all right? Noise in the kids' room, pop-ups in her brain, things that won't go away, prep for tomorrow. There's just all kinds of things happening in her brain, so it's hard to bring her mind back to that space. Number two, she just needs more warm-up time than you do. She's running after the kids, cleaning. It just takes a long time to get her mind there. It's like your mind being a cruise ship set for port, and it just can't turn on a dime or a suggestion, you know? So there's like these busy computer windows all over and pop-ups all begging for attention, and she needs time to shut them. That's why you hear these things like, well, if you did the dishes, I'd be ready. You think, what do the dishes have to do with anything? It's just a window. It's one of the 10 pop-up windows that are there saying, I have to clean the dishes, I have to get lunches ready for tomorrow, I have to get my work prepped, the laundry needs to fold, and someone has to put the kids to bed. They're just windows that need to be shut so that she can get her mind where she wants it to go and you want it to go. Three, we're not as visual as men. It always surprises me. Sometimes I think, why did you make us so different? Because your body by itself does not get her to where you want her to go quickly. She may love your looks, but that's not where intimacy starts for a woman. Four, it starts in her heart, which is closeness outside of the bedroom. Her body's ability to respond to you is tied to how she emotionally feels at that moment about you. It's not a contest, but how you treated her that morning really matters in her mind. This is a quote by a woman. My power to turn you on is how I look, but where you have power is in how you treated me today. It's all emotional. So five, she wants pleasure as much as you do. But if it usually isn't happening for her, then she's going to become reluctant. And you need to learn to be able to ask her questions, even if she's shy. Hey, honey, what's going on here? And if there's been trauma in the past, sexual trauma in the past, that's going to be a roadblock. Whether she wants to or not, that's something that has to be overcome. And part of you showing love and connection is maybe seeking out a professional to find out, why is she stuck in this place? And just as a pastor's wife, can I tell you, there is a lot of sexual trauma in the past. We learn things that you have no idea. And the average is 1 in 4 people have had that kind of a trauma. So you may need help. It's not really you. Her problem needs a professional to help you guys get through. And it says a lot to a woman that you would like to help her overcome that. So what do you do? What do you do about all this? Well, you give her warm-up time. She needs time to flirt and anticipate. You can text her, you know, just thinking about you or what might happen that night. Pursue her outside of the bedroom so she'll be ready for the bedroom. Women want to be romantically pursued in the same way, it's like as powerful as the man's sex drive. Simple eye contact across the room where you wink or you notice her for no good reason. Say something kind each day. Cuddle and talk after the kids have been in bed. You have to help close all those windows and those pop-ups so you can get her mind in the right place. Now, we have a bag for you. This is so funny to me. We did this 3 years ago, this silly little bag where I'm going to show you what's in here. You get this free of charge as you leave. So there's a paint pen, or not a paint pen, it's a marker. So why do we put a marker in there? Because we have a couple of resources for you. One is we have sticky notes, all right? So remember, outside the bedroom, these things you do and say get her ready for that kind of intimacy. So just kind things that are said, like, you're beautiful. I asked women, I have a whole list in here for you guys of things to say, because you run out of them after a while. You think, I've already said everything I know how to say. So I asked women, what would you like to hear? Thank you for marrying me. I'd ask all over again. You could be like Mark. Mark doesn't leave me notes, but he says really nice things. Like just the other day, he said, "You are my favorite tax deduction." He said to me, "If I changed anyone's oil, I would change yours." So, how lucky I am to have you. I hope the kids treat you well today. You add so much to my life. If you're, where I even have here, where to put the notes? On the mirrors. Okay, so either sticky notes or just a pen, where you write this on the mirror. Or on, in the car mirror, or you leave a note on her cell phone, or in a drawer she uses, or on the dishwasher, on the coffee pot. One guy told me, he came up to me this week and he said, "When's the first time you did this?" We started figuring out, it was 2016. And he said, "Do you know I took that pen and I wrote on my wife's mirror?" And he said, "She's never taken it off. She completely cleans all the way around it." These people have been married almost 40 years. It means a lot. So it says to you, it says to us, "I am loved. I am lovable. He still likes me." It opens a door. In here, we also have date ideas around the town, date ideas at home. We all get like, I don't know, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? So we're giving you new ideas. And the other thing that's in the bag are just three little cards. Just write anything on them and leave it somewhere, inner sock drawer. Doesn't matter. All of a sudden, believe me, if you do that, the women start texting each other. After our very first session like this, I started getting all these texts. Women are Facebooking these silly things. You think, that's just weird, but it works. There's one last thing, and you're going to have to thank me for this. The women wanted a honey-do list. Like, that's meaningful to them. But it was really long, and I made them cut it in half. So you can just say, "Hey, hon, what would make you happy here? Write this out." That does something in her heart. So, those are the main 5 points about sex, and our very final point here is on beauty. Let's have that picture. Told you I'd be ready in 5 minutes. Stop calling me every half hour. So why? What is it about women and beauty? Why does it take so darn long to get ready? Or ask you stupid questions like, "Does this make me look fat?" Or they say, "How do I look?" And you say, "Fine." And they're really frustrated. Or make such a big deal if your eyes linger or notice somebody else beautiful in the room. When Will, our youngest, was 7, the other boys were teens, we went out to lunch, and right behind us was this big poster of these 7 scantily clad cheerleaders. And Will's just staring at this picture, and I'm thinking, oh, I kind of wish we would have sat someplace else, right? So Mark notices this, and he says, "Will, they're pretty beautiful, aren't they?" And he goes, "Yeah." And then Mark says, "Almost as beautiful as your mother." And Will never takes his eyes off the picture, and he goes, "Way more." And all of us burst out laughing. So here's Mark. Of course, none of the boys cannot recognize that there's these beautiful women. But Mark was saying to me, "No matter what's around me, I only have eyes for you." I knew it wasn't a contest. I'm not going to measure up to their, but he's letting me know I have eyes for you. So she just needs to know you find her beautiful, and because we subconsciously compare ourselves to other people in the room. As you mature, you quit doing that, but she looks to you for clues about how she measures up in your eyes. So what do? You just tell her that she's beautiful. It just translates that I'm loved. And make sure that your visual choices tell her that you only have eyes for her. If your eyes wander, for example, porn, as a pastor's wife, it's almost invariably within 6 months of a woman getting married, she's in my office weeping because she's found her husband on porn. When your eyes wander, you say, "Well, I didn't really do anything. That's just what guys do." But it not only not affirms her, but this deep fear comes into her where it says, "It's true. I will never be enough. I kind of suspected it up front that I'm not truly lovable. Now it proves it. I will never be enough." And she is back in competition, you guys, and that is going to be very costly for you. because she's going to do things now to get your attention back. And while she does it, she's going to be resentful and insecure. And it's all about this latent insecurity about being lovable. I can't tell you how many women went and got a body lift after they had found their husbands viewing porn. It starts at 4,000 and it goes to 15,000. And I was shocked at the people who did not have the money to do this who did it anyway. So just on a cost analysis, it's really bad for your budget. I'm just going to tell you that. You have tremendous ability to build her up or tear her down in this area. And honestly, if there really is a physical issue, because there can be. Like Mark told me when we first got married, when we were going through pre-marriage, he said, like, if you got really fat, that would be hard for me. It'd be hard for me if Mark got really fat. But if there is an issue, she probably feels terrible anyway, and knowing you're disappointed makes it worse. So you can let her know, I'm on your side. I am on your side. I love you no matter what. What can I do to help? So, very last thing that women said, after having said all of that, pouring out their heart, this is what I think, this is how I feel, here's what they said when they were asked, what's the most important thing you want your husband or boyfriend, you wish they could understand? And this is what they said. He's my life. How deep my love and respect is for him, how much I care about his happiness, his feelings, well-being, how I feel incredibly lucky to be with him today, and that I would trust him with my life. So, just in conclusion, you can get what you want from this relationship as you just understand better what's in her head and just come with a humble attitude, practice, and just give the process time. So I just would like to pray a blessing for you guys right now. Lord, every one of us want someone to love us no matter what. No matter what they see or find, no matter what my weaknesses are, all of us want to be loved, and you made a promise that you love us no matter what we do. And so I pray for these men, and I ask as they look at their wives, their loved ones, their future spouse, that you would show them what you see in her, and that great grace and patience would be granted to them as they maneuver their way to a greater and a deeper intimacy. We just ask, as your people, that your kingdom would come through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm just going to open it up for just a minute. As you leave, you can grab a bag on your way out there. You're free to go right now, but if there's any question and answers, anything anybody wants to ask real quick, I'm happy to.
This was helpful.
Was helpful. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'll stay up here if any of you have secret stuff you want to come up here and say, how about this? Not in front of the guys. So God bless you guys. Have a great time.